This episode is brought to you by Nordstrom. Whether you're packing for a vacation or dressing for a wedding, Nordstrom has head-to-toe looks for wherever summer takes you. From swimwear and bold color to romantic florals and dresses that make an entrance, find the right style for every unforgettable moment. Shop new arrivals from brands you love like Farm Rio, Free People, Vince, Waif, and Staud. Plus free shipping and returns and styling help whenever you need it make it all so easy. Shop now in stores, at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
This episode is brought to you by Prime. Obsession is in session, and this summer, Prime Originals have everything you want. Steamy romances, irresistible love stories, and the book to screen favorites you've already read twice. Off Campus, Elle, Every Year After, The Love Hypothesis, Sterling Point, and more. Slow burns, second chances, chemistry you can feel through the screen. Your next obsession is waiting. Watch only on Prime.
Hello and welcome to the Principal Liner Notes podcast. This is Sean Gaylord and this is a bonus episode of our podcast. And I am so grateful that you have tuned in and I am excited about our special guest. But first, how about a little bit of trivia on the Beatles? As you all know, if you know me and if you've listened to this podcast, all long and winding roads do lead to the Beatles. In the story of the Beatles, there is a legendary moment that no fan or outsider experienced. I'm referring to the moment that Ringo Starr first drummed with the band before they got famous. Paul McCartney details this story in the Ron Howard-directed documentary from a few years ago entitled 8 Days a Week. Paul is usually charming and affable in his interviews. He has probably told the same stories to reporters and interviewers literally millions of times, and he has the tone, the pacing, the word choice, the timing all down to a science. When he does share the story of Ringo first playing with the band in the 8 Days a Week documentary, he becomes overcome with emotion. It is a very moving moment in the film. Paul attempts to describe the collective moment of epiphany each band member had when Ringo first played. You see him in the film as he's describing this moment, time travel, and he reaches this moment of speechlessness, and he's overcome with emotion as he describes, or attempts to describe rather, the musical brotherhood that is so evident when all four Beatles, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, play together for the very first time. This musical brotherhood that changed Paul's life and the lives of so many, including mine. The Beatles without Ringo's steady beat and solid swing is hard to fathom. The moment of connection that Paul cannot put into words is so moving. His tears tell the story of when John, Paul, George, and Ringo become a band. And his tears serve as the basis for a connection that I made in the connection that I'll share with you in the course of this bonus episode. Have you had those same moments of connection in your professional life? Do you feel a powerful connection towards a peer or colleague that serves as the platform for new and inspiring collaborations? I have loved those moments of connection when I played with musicians during my band days, and I love those connections even more when they take place in the educational arena. For this special bonus episode of the Principal Liner Notes podcast, we will explore the power of connection with a guest who has served as one of my edu-Beatles. Lauren Kaufman is someone many of us call friend, thought partner, and even bandmate. I am overjoyed that Lauren agreed to join the podcast today and engage in sincere and meaningful conversation. Lauren is always ready to share her learning and her enthusiasm is contagious. The things that she shares have served her well as an inspiring educator with over 15 years of experience, ranging from classroom teacher to instructional coach. Recently, Lauren was named as an elementary school assistant principal in Long Island, New York. Our conversation on the podcast was far-ranging, from our mutual connections in education to her favorite music to even her love for the New York Yankees. Join me in welcoming Lauren Kaufman to the Principal Liner Notes podcast, and be prepared to take notes as Lauren drops powerful insights in her usual sincere, affable, and intentional way. Welcome to the Principal Liner Notes podcast.
Girl, winter is so last season. And now spring's got you looking at pictures of tank tops with hungry eyes. Your algorithm is feeding you cutoffs. You're thirsty for the sun on your shoulders. That perfect hang on the patio sundress. Those sandals you can wear all day and all night. And you've had enough of shopping from your couch. Done hoping it looks anything like the picture when you tear open that envelope? It's time for a little in-person spring treat. It's time for a trip to Ross. Work your magic.
Well, I have really looked forward to this conversation for a long time, and I welcome and I'm so grateful to have one of the most gifted and inspiring educators I know, and that is Lauren Kaufman. Welcome to the Principal Liner Notes podcast, Lauren.
Hi, Sean. Wow, I am honored to be here. What a privilege. Thank you so much for inviting me as your guest. I mean, I am totally fangirling right now because before we connected, I followed your work. I followed your podcast, and you are an incredible educator and leader and principal and creator of some incredible content. So just to be able to be here with you today to have a conversation about education and other things just gets straight to my heart.
Oh, I'm grateful for that. And a little man, you are a day maker, and I've learned so much from you. So I'm going to try not to stammer and trip over words, because I have great respect and admiration for you. And we are closing in on the second hour of our conversation.
Yes.
We've spent the better part of our time. For those of you that are listening, we've talked for about an hour catching up and going into all kinds of cool rabbit holes. But it is such a treat to talk with you at this time.
Absolutely. So excited to start the conversation.
So I, you know, we talked a little bit about your recent contribution to the world of educational writing. I know that you, and for those of you that follow follow your blog and have followed your professional journey or your learning journey. And I want to cut straight to the chase and talk about the chapter that you wrote in the recently published Because of a Teacher, which was written and curated by our mutual friend George Koros. And I want to just cut to it and talk a little bit about that chapter and go into it a little bit. You wrote in the section on what advice you would give to your first year teacher self, and in many ways, or just about in every way, all of us right now are experiencing that within the last year or so of adapting to the challenges of being whatever role we were in the year of COVID. And so in many ways, I feel like a first year teacher all over again in this new school year. So I wanted to kind of talk with you about that in some way, if you don't mind.
I would love to. So Sean, you know, I am so fortunate that the trajectory of my career has been so beautiful. I have served in so many roles. This is my 16th year in education, and every year feels like my first year. And I think, you know, it's not just because of a pandemic, you know, it's felt like that, especially in the last year and a half or so. Every day feels like a first day of new year sometimes. But I just think it's because I have this passion and love for education. And I know that the learners and the community and the colleagues that I serve, they have different needs as we evolve every year. And it's really, really important to me to stay on the cutting edge of best practice, because as this global society we live in is evolving and changing, we need to adapt to that very, very quickly. And that's being a responsive teacher, isn't it? So yeah. Having served in so many roles, from teaching assistant to classroom teacher to literacy specialist at the elementary and middle school level to instructional coach, and now I'm lucky enough to serve in my first year as an administrator, as an assistant principal, I know that within all of those roles, I have always kept children at the heart of decision-making, but also I have also valued the connections and the relationships that I've built over time. And those connections that I've cultivated are still with me to this day. And whether we perceive interactions that we've had with people to be favorable or unfavorable, every single interaction that we have, big and small, impacts who we are as people. And sometimes when we are in that moment and we are interacting with people, we don't realize that that conversation could potentially have an impact and influence over your life for many years to come. And then you're in a moment, let's say many years later, and you think back to another moment from 10 years ago in your career, and you go, oh, wow, that's why that happened, you know? So my chapter in Because of a Teacher is called Connections Are Cornerstones to Our Hearts.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to memorialize a story about the first principal who hired me to become a classroom teacher in her building with very little experience. You know, I'm coming in for an interview, and I don't want to give away too much for those of you who haven't read the book. But, you know, I'm coming into an interview to be a classroom teacher, to potentially enter a field that is the most rewarding, gratifying field in the world, because you get to impact the hearts and lives of who else but our children, right? Yeah. Who are the future. So for somebody to have given me that foot in the door with very little experience and to recognize my potential was just a story that needed to be shared with others, because I know that there are so many educators out there right now that might be frustrated or stressed because they're going on all these interviews. Their dream job is to be an educator so that they can impact the lives of students as well. And it's hard because there are so many people out there going for that one job, right? But, you know, really in this chapter, I talk about how, you know, I wasn't an educator right away. I was actually in the field of cosmetics for 8 years before I went into education. And it turns out that the principal who actually hired me, I had worked with her daughter in cosmetics in New York City. And when she saw on my resume that I had worked for this cosmetic company, she immediately called her daughter and said, do you know Lauren Kaufman? Like, do you know this girl? Because she has very little experience, but I see that she worked in New York City for the same company you did. And of course, her daughter said, of course I know Lauren. They had a conversation and there was my reference, right? So who knew that my job in cosmetics would open a door to the field of education for me? So, you know, that's one example of how connections and relationships, wherever you are in your life, can really impact who you will become, who you are, and who you will become in the future. So that's just a little brief summary of what my chapter is about. You know, we all experience these significant moments in time. And, you know, I think it's important for us to understand that every stage that we're in our life, in our career, there are people that come into it for a reason. And those people like I said earlier, whether those interactions are favorable or unfavorable, they help you create pathways to where you're going to go. And I think that it's exciting also to think about how there are people who will come into your life, who you will connect with, that you don't even know yet. They will become a part of your team, right? So like you, Sean, you know, we didn't know each other maybe a year and a half ago.
That's right.
And now suddenly you've become a great friend and a mentor. You know, some of the people I work with now in my new role, it's like I feel like I've been working with them for years. I've been working with them for 4 weeks. So it's quite exciting to think about that as people move forward in their careers and in their personal and professional lives.
What I love in listening to you, Lauren, is as you talk, And I know you well, and I'm honored by the gift of your friendship, but I can almost hear you writing another blog post in what you just said, and this serving as a future chapter for another book. But I'm grateful for that connection. So, and again, I don't want to give away too much from your chapter because it is powerful, and I hope folks have the opportunity to read it. But let's take a little bit, build a little bit more upon, you know, folks that are feeling, you know, that may be listening to this and are going, oh, okay, well, Lauren and Sean, you guys got lucky. You happen to find each other and connect. Well, I don't, you know, listening to this, I may be, you know, folks may be going, I don't feel connected. I'm working hard. I'm dealing with COVID, I'm dealing with hybrid teaching or remote teaching, or I'm miserable. I don't have a Lauren Kaufman down the hallway to talk to, or Sean is in another state. So what advice would you give maybe to those? And I know your chapter, because of a teacher, is that first year teacher self, but what advice would you give to those that are feeling disconnected in our profession or disenfranchised and feeling alone?
Yeah. And that's the reality of it. You know, I think there are times where even throughout my career, I felt alone or isolated. But, you know, I'm happy to say that we're in a field now where we can really shatter the walls of isolation. We no longer have to feel like we're alone, because
Plan B is a backup birth control option that's there for you when things don't go according to plan. It specifically works after unprotected sex and before pregnancy occurs by temporarily delaying ovulation. Plan B is available nationwide at all major retailers and through delivery apps like DoorDash. No ID, prescription, or age requirement. It's the number one OBGYN recommended brand of emergency contraception, and it won't impact your future fertility. That's freedom to be. Use as directed.
Even if you don't feel like there's someone within your own professional learning community, within your own school system, there are ways to reach out to other people today. I know Twitter has been such a powerful form of communication for me to connect with people, because you could really just type in a hashtag, whether it's, you know, kindergarten or instructional coach. And when you type in those hashtags and you see conversations that are happening across the world about similar issues that you might be experiencing, but then also sharing some really awesome practices that you can implement tomorrow, you know, in your classroom or within your professional community, that's really exciting. And I think that we have to be open to embracing those opportunities. There are multiple pathways to connecting with people. And I would say that with passion and perseverance comes success. And success looks different to everybody, right? You know, Theodore Roosevelt says, comparison is the thief of joy, right? Yep. I love that phrase because, Same. Yes, it is so easy to start comparing ourselves. Oh, well, Lauren's doing this and Sean's doing that. And how will I ever be like this? You know, when I look at myself in the mirror, you know, I'm the same Lauren Kaufman as I was when I was a little girl. You know, I have the same heart, I have the same core, but I found my passions. And I have had great educators and people in my life along the way who were able to recognize those gifts in me and to elevate me and to give me that recognition when I needed it the most. I think that's what people need in life is recognition, right? Yeah. They need to be told, wow, you are doing a great job, right? And then they need a little coaching too with that. So they need the appreciation and the recognition, but they need a little coaching. So to be able to connect with someone as your mentor, whether they're in your own neighborhood, in your own school community, or somebody that you have connected to outside of your school community, I think that's really important because coaching is a place I think we should all be living in. That's why I value that role of an instructional coach so much. But if we're in education, we're all coaches for one another. You know, the principal that I work with now gave a great analogy to his teachers in the first few days of school, and I'd love to share it. So he said that, you know, Michael Phelps' coach is not better than him at swimming. And I was like, wow, that really is powerful. Right? It's just like, wow, you know, he's there to support Michael Phelps. He's there to give him some feedback, to tweak some of his practices, you know. And I think that's how we have to approach what we're doing in education here. It's not about who's better. It's not about one-upping each other. It's about being more collaborative and less competitive, as Stephanie Rothstein would say.
That's right.
That's, you know, I took that little line from her, and I love that so much. So, you know, just to sum it up, I think my advice would be don't be afraid to reach out to people. Look for a mentor or mentors. You can have more than one mentor who will coach you and support you and be honest with you and give you that feedback. And don't be afraid to share. You know, I feel like sometimes we're in this, you know, in education in my earlier years, I've seen educators say, well, I created this and this is mine, right? Well, yeah. It's not really mine. It's ours. It's for the students. That's why we're here. And if we are in the business of sharing, that is one more child or one more educator that we can impact. And we're all in this together. It takes a village. So if I shared a practice that's helping a couple of students across the world from my blog, let's say, then that makes me incredibly happy. So I would say, don't give up. Continue to have that passion and perseverance. Explore what you're interested in and be prepared to fail, because the hardest part sometimes is getting back up after you fail. But when you get back up, you continue doing the work and keep who is at the heart of this all. That's the children, right? That's why we're here. So that's my advice.
That's beautiful advice and spoken like a true baseball mom who appreciates the art of the long game, right? And sometimes in education, you know, and I'm guilty of this too, but I get impatient and I want that win now. You know, I want that grand slam home run every time I get to bat, but often, and I've learned this in the last few years from a very wise educator that kind of said, you know, stop playing the short game. You got to play the long game and have that perseverance and still stay, as you said, still stay in tune with your passion. So I had to make a little nod to your own baseball momhood.
Yes. When my own boys get up to bat and they strike out, you know, they tend to get very disappointed, as you know, all young baseball players would. And you know, we then go into the conversation. Well, you know, we'll talk about we love the New York Yankees in my house. So, you know, we'll talk about how Aaron Judge, he strikes out, and Derek Jeter. You know, we go through everything, and then they come back and they have this great grand slam. So, yeah, it's more about the process too. You know, it's not about the product. You know, learning is infinite. As we know, we both read that book by Simon Sinek, The Infinite Game, right?
Right.
And I think that was one of the first connections that we made actually by reading that book.
You're right. We did. Yeah. That's right.
Yes, yes. And that game, I'm thinking about a baseball game. That book really resonated with me because learning is an infinite process. There mm-hmm. is no ending to learning. And I think, you know, that's another piece of advice is to realize that, you Beautiful. Know, we're not looking at our lesson plans from last year because it's different this year. We have different learners in front of us and we're always learning. And as George would say in one of his podcasts or blogs, mm-hmm. we're always learning for our students, about our students, and with our students. And not just our students, but we're learning for our colleagues, with our colleagues, about our colleagues. And I love that mm-hmm. because it is our professional obligation to continuously make it a point to learn about who we're with and who we're serving. Because we're constantly having to pivot to meet the needs of whomever we're around. So, you know, that's an important piece too. And I love taking all these little tidbits from these amazing educators and people and authors, you know, that I read about and kind of make it my own. And that's another thing to share is that make this stuff your own. You know, you take the best mm-hmm. from everybody you've learned from, all of these amazing mentors, authors, podcasts, you listen to these little tidbits and you say, well, how can I implement that practice in the most authentic way? How can I make it my own and make it work for my population of learners or colleagues? So that would be another piece of advice.
And you weave that so well in your blog posts. I mean, that is what, you know, for me and being in your PLN, that, you know, kind of following that and reading that, you do such a beautiful job of, hey, I've read this book or I've listened to this podcast and this is what I've garnered from it. And this is how I'm applying to that. Could you maybe talk a little bit about your blog post and your writing process and how that's really led you to some other powerful connections along the way in your professional gig?
Sure. You know, I have to give a nod here to George Kuros because when I met him during the time that I was facilitating the mentor program in a school district in Long Island. And we had used uh-huh. his book, The Innovator's Mindset.
Right on.
And I had reached out to George and he was kind enough to do videos for me for the new teachers and their mentors to kind of just make an impact and influence them and get them energized for the school year. And so we had connected and during the pandemic, I had invited him to one of my mentor program meetings. And in that meeting, he actually challenged me to create my own platform, to start my own blog. And during that time, he had actually come out with a digital portfolio course.
That's right.
That I took. I actually had put out my first blog before I took the course, but that course actually helped me create my own platform so that I would have a platform to actually blog on and share. And he always said this to me. He said, Lauren, he says, you're writing for yourself. It's your own reflections. You're reflecting on your learning. And because I always thought to myself, well, what would others have to learn from me? I'm just Lauren, you know, what would, if I write, would anything actually resonate with others? And he said, that's not why we write, Lauren. And I said, okay. So that actually gave me the confidence to really to start writing a little bit more voluminously. And over time, I think I've developed a style of writing. And something that impacts me as an educator is this style where if I'm reading an article or if I'm reading a book, I love theory. Don't get me wrong. I love it because it gives me a framework. Like this is the why, right? This is why we're doing this.
Right.
But the what and the how, that is important to me as a practitioner. So it's like I want to set it up where I'm giving everybody the why and the background and the purpose and the research behind it. But then like unwrapping a present, I'm going to start in my writing showing people, okay, so what does this mean for you in your space, in your classroom? How can you take this philosophy and make it work in practice? And essentially, that's what I like to do in my blog posts is I like to have an idea that was inspired by possibly a book or a podcast or both or an article, and then show educators, this is what it looks like. And this is what you can use tomorrow in your classroom. And maybe you don't have to use it in the same way I use it, but you can make it your own. And that's basically my process, is that I want educators to walk away thinking about something and reflecting and thinking that, wow, that's a really neat concept. But then having a resource in their hands that they can use to have a conversation in their professional learning community, to share a resource with kids, to share this video with kids, to ignite a conversation. So that, if you look at most of my blog posts, and they're not all like this, because sometimes I have ideas and I just want to do a little reflection in my writing too. And it's not necessarily that I'm going to give you a practice or a resource in every single blog post, but a lot of them are very much in that style. And I try to weave in as many resources as I possibly could that make sense without overdoing it at the same time, because I want to show people how, you know, different authors might have this idea. You know, maybe Katie Martin said this, and Brene Brown said that, and Simon Sinek said this, and George Kuros said that, and Tom Murray used this resource, you know, but look how it all makes sense when it comes together. So that's kind of how I blog. I kind of bring all of these ideas together and then make it my own.
It weaves, again, it's like a tapestry, and I love how you curate those ideas. And again, for those that are listening, I highly recommend that you subscribe to Lauren's blog post. I always get great joy when it arrives in my inbox, and I feel like I'm always in for a treat. I'm always in to get enriched when I read your words, and I walk away probably ordering a few more books off of Amazon than I need to, but I am grateful for it.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. As I am grateful for all of the content that you create. And I was talking a little bit with you before we started recording about how I've had writer's block for the last few weeks. And I think part of it has been that I'm in a new role now, and I'm really focused on trying to learn everything I can about this new role. And I have felt that, I'm trying to, I want to say, balance out my life right now, what once was and the way I was able to write maybe a little bit more often, I might not be able to do it anymore, but that's okay. I just have to kind of recalibrate my life. And I think that's what I'm trying to, you know, we talk about self-care a lot too. We talked about that in Campfire Combos EDU. That was a great conversation. And I think part of me recalibrating my life right now is to figure out how I can embed my passions, but also keeping an emphasis on what's most important right now is me in a new role, learning that job, being there to support my district, my principal, the students, my colleagues, the community. That's really important to me. So, I'm kind of leading with that. And then also, right standing next to that, and first and foremost, my own family, with my children, and attending their baseball games and being involved in their life. And then I have my passions and my interests that I don't want to get rid of, because I love to write and I love to be on podcasts and I love to share my learning with a greater educational community. So that repurposing, I guess, of priorities, how can I fit this in? I'm still in that stage right now where I'm trying to figure that out. But you have inspired me, actually, with the podcast I listened to this morning, to write again. So I'm going to, we have a long weekend now, and I'm going to try to put out a blog pretty soon. So I appreciate that inspiration, Sean.
Well, thank you, Lauren. And I mean, that is the beauty of connections and collaboration, and how we, those connections and collaborations help bring out the best in the other person. And so I'm very honored that for somebody that I have great admiration and respect is able to get something from my little podcast. And I'm grateful for that. I, you know, part of the Principal Liner Notes podcast is things, all roads go back to music. As you know, I am a big music geek.
Yes.
And I, I'm an unabashed fan of all things Beatles and music and all kinds of other guilty musical pleasures along the way. But I am curious to hear what are those, you know, and this is not a, and I, this is a judgment-free zone when it comes to music. So don't feel like you've got to say, oh, I'm a big Beatles fan. Nothing will be taken against you there. But what are those kind of musical pieces? Maybe when you take one of your walks, or when you're on a road trip to a ball game, or going into the city, what are those pieces of music or artists that serve as sources for self-care and peace and balance for you?
Well, Sean, I have the biggest smile on my face as you're asking me this question, because what is life without music?
Right on.
I and you know that about me. I need to listen to music. In the mornings when I was a teacher, I greeted students every morning with music.
That's right.
And I love listening to music on my walks and in the car. And I do have an appreciation for the Beatles, because my dad always listened to the Beatles. And I would listen to that music growing up. But nice. I have the most eclectic mix of music in my iTunes right now. So I have anywhere. I'm a big theater fan. So I have, you know, Broadway music from Hamilton to Rent, mm-hmm. To even like stuff like Legally Blonde, you know, all those musicals, all those different musicals, a big range. And then I love rock. So I have things like Linkin Park and Panic at the Disco.
Nice.
I also have a lot of hip hop music and a lot of pop music. And I love bands like Chicago also, and the Beach Boys. So I have a big range of music in my iTunes, and it's whatever mood I'm in. That, you know, depends where I'm going to go with that, what playlists I'm going to put on. I don't value one genre more than the other. I think that's what music is there for. It's like reading books, right? What are you in the mood for? Do you need a good like beach read that's going to take mm-hmm. you on vacation? Do you need something that's going to get you a little more focused and you're going to learn something new? You know, so all of those genres are important to me. And yes, love music.
I identify you always with New York, and
right.
and not only do I hear that in your speech and patois and accent, but I know that you and I have talked about the, you know, how my daughters have a great appreciation for New York as well, and one of my daughters wants to move there, and I just learned this morning one of my daughters, the one who wants to move to New York, she's enrolling in a course. She's a freshman in college now, and she's enrolling in a course where she'll be able to go to New York for a week and go backstage for a Broadway show. And I'm not sure of all the particulars, but she is through the roof, over the moon, excited. And I know that you have a great, you're a great fan of musicals as well. We are in our family. So I had to make mention of my daughter. Maybe you guys can meet up when she gets up there.
I was just going to say, I mean, first of all, congratulations to her. How exciting, and what an incredible opportunity. And yes, when she is in New York, I would definitely spend the day with her, make some time for Sean's daughter, of course, uh-huh. and show her the ropes. I mean, there is no other place to be, you know, in my eyes. You know, the New York City for the theater and the arts. I mean, it's just everything is at your fingertips, from museums to theater, restaurants, you name it. There's so much culture in New York City. And I am so lucky to have grown up in Long Island, where I've had access to New York City. It's about a 50-minute drive, probably, or train ride. I went to school in New York City. I student taught in New York City. So I've had a range of experiences in New York City, and it's a big part of the fabric of who I am as a person.
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely. Cue Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, everybody. And we'll dedicate it to Lauren. Lauren, it has been an absolute joy to be immersed in this conversation with you on the Principal Liner Notes podcast. You are the third guest I've ever had. This is my third year in the podcast, but you are in great company with mutual friends that you have connected me to.
Yes.
Them being Naomi Toland and Lainey Rowell. And now you are the third guest that I've had on here. And I'm grateful for our friendship, our collaboration. You are a bandmate and an inspiration. I am not going to hold against you the fact that you are a New York Yankees fan, and you know, I am a Boston Red Sox fan.
Oh boy! Oh gosh!
Yeah, I married into it, and so I'm still trying to get over the fact that Aaron Boone hit that home run, during that playoff game the Red Sox and Yankees had in 2003. But again, we can still be friends. We can still talk to each other.
Yes.
I may not be walking into the Bronx with you to go to Yankee Stadium. That's all I'm saying.
You know? You know what, though? It is an experience. Even though you're not a Yankees fan, just being in New York and singing, you know, start spreading the news in Yankee Stadium, it's an experience in itself. So even if you're not a Yankees fan, I don't hold that against you.
That is true. Yeah, well, yeah, I'll go with you. I may not wear, I don't know if it would be safe for me to wear any Red Sox paraphernalia.
I don't think so. I don't think that's a good idea, Sean. You know, I care about you as a friend, and I'd want to protect you. So I don't know. I'm not saying you have to wear Yankees gear, but definitely not Boston Red Sox gear for sure.
Yeah, I'll be safe, and I'll probably just wear civilian clothes definitely no Yankees gear. That reminds me, just as a quick aside, Ben Affleck, the famous actor and director, and he is from Boston. Did you know that in the film Gone Girl, his character was supposed to be a Yankees fan, and he said to the director, he said, "Listen, I can't wear this Yankees cap. I'm not going to do it. I will be a Mets fan instead. Can we write that?"
Wow.
In? Yeah, wow. You believe that?
That's deep. Yeah,
that is deep.
That's deep. Wow, that, talk about a true fan.
Yes.
Pretty loyal over there. Wow. Yeah, I would say that most people who are like diehard sports fans are pretty loyal to their teams. So that's funny. That's a great little aside.
So next time you see Gone Girl, just look for him wearing the Mets cap, and all of that was intentional. He just couldn't do it. So I can't blame him, but again, I respect the Yankees. We're still friends.
Right.
We're still collaborators, and we can get along. But Lauren, where can folks follow you and get all of your great content?
Sure. Thank you, Sean. So my website and my blog and some of the other things that I do, it's laurenmkaufman.com. And everything is pretty much accessible through my website. So any other events or presentations that I'm a part of, I put everything on the website for people to access. And my goal in having the website is to share my learning with many educational communities. And I get so much joy out of people contacting me and saying, thank you for sharing this because I tried this and it impacted my learners or my colleagues. And I'm appreciative of that. So that's why I do it. And that's why it's there. So thank you for anybody who goes to my website. Please feel free to reach out to me with thoughts, ideas. I love being a thinking partner. If there's any way I can help and support a fellow educator, I am right there by your side.
And the name of the book that Lauren has contributed, her exceptional and moving and beautiful chapter, is Because of a Teacher, written and co-rated by our bandmate and friend George Koros. You can find that book off of Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It comes to us from IM Press Books. And Lauren is, this is not the last that you will hear from her. I look forward to the day when I will be reading a cover-to-cover book by Lauren. It's going to happen. And I will be first in line for that, my friend.
Thank you, Sean. I believe you. You have been nothing but supportive in every way possible, and I'm so happy we're connected. And like I've said before, we just have so many mutual friends in common, and I'm appreciative of all of you. You all know who you are. We have our little think tank going on, and it's just so great to learn from all of you and to be connected in that way. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast. So honored. It's such a privilege.
Thank you, Lauren. And I will, maybe I'll see you at Fenway Park.
I don't know about that, but you know what? If I go to Fenway Park, I'm not wearing my Yankee gear. That'll tell you.
No.
I'll tell you that. And no. I might not wear Boston Red Sox gear either. So I'll have to wear my civilian clothes as well.
You got it, my friend.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
That's it for this bonus episode of the Principal Liner Notes podcast. A very special and sincere thanks to Lauren Kaufman for joining me as my guest. I hope you enjoyed our conversation as much as we did. My friend is an inspiring force, and I am happy to play in the band with her anytime. You can follow Lauren on Twitter at LAU7210, and be sure to check out her sharp and insightful blog at laurenmkaufman.com. You can read Lauren's chapter in the new book, Because of a Teacher. That book comes from the innovative world of George Koros and IM Press Books. Lauren is one of many inspiring authors who contributed chapters on teacher impact in a book that will uplift and motivate you. I guarantee it. You can order a copy of the book from either Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or directly from the publisher, IM Press Books. Thanks as always to the musical legacy of the Beatles. Their enduring connections as a band still inspire and impel joy, innovation, and creativity. This fall, I look forward to seeing my favorite Beatles album, Let It Be, get the deluxe reissue treatment, along with viewing the upcoming Peter Jackson, yes, that Peter Jackson, directed redux of the Let It Be sessions entitled Get Back on Disney Plus. It is going to be a 3-night affair in November, and it is going to be a fab fall, and I know that somewhere along the way, one episode, perhaps two episodes of the Principal Liner Notes podcast will be dedicated to the Let It Be album. Again, I believe I've done a few other episodes dedicated to that album. I'm a bit of a fan. Don't forget to cultivate connections in our educational space. Our noble profession needs collaborations from you that will inspire and support the learners we serve. Lauren Kaufman does that on such a level of intentionality and expertise, and I know that many of you out there are doing very much the same thing. This is Sean Gaylord, and this is the Principal Liner Notes podcast, signing off for now. Take care and stay safe.